It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Neil Charnoff. We'll get this week's VPR Art Hounds recommendations in a few minutes. But first, it's our weekly conversation on the arts. The Bennington Museum focuses on the history and heritage of the Southern Vermont region. It boasts the world's largest collection of Grandma Moses paintings, as well as the largest collection of 19th century Bennington pottery. The museum has been on an extended winter break to redesign some of its galleries and is reopening tomorrow. Joining us now with an update is the executive director of the Bennington Museum, Dr. Robert Walterstorff. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, we talked with you when you took over as executive director in the summer of 2012. Can you tell us about some of the changes that have occurred since then?
Yeah, we've been on a brisk run since then, it seems. The most dramatic changes we have started, we've sort of ended up backing into what I'm going to describe as a complete reinstallation of the museum. After I got there, I realized that there were good collections in storage, which the public wasn't able to see. I thought the galleries could look better. We could show our own strengths more strongly and use great works to pull people through the museum. But the other thing that is our goal is to tell the entire history of creativity and of art in Vermont from the earliest times to the present. And we had some holes in the collection. Some of those we could fill from our own storage. But we've also reached out for key loans, works like Rockwell Kent paintings. He worked in Arlington in the 1920s. Still trying to bring in a Norman Rockwell. He worked in Arlington in the 1940s and early 50s. And actually, the Grandma Moses reinstallation is motivated by our reaching out for a few masterworks to bring up the average level of the gallery to make it really great. We do have the largest public collection, but we were missing a few key themes in her work, like Sugaring Off, for example.
Now, you are the go-to gallery for the folk art paintings by Grandma Moses. I find these paintings really delightful. And could you tell us why you believe Grandma Moses is an important American artist?
That's a good question right now. You know, we all know the story. She didn't start painting until she was almost 80, lived to be 101. She becomes fantastically famous in America in the 1950s.
And was essentially self-taught.
She was a self-taught artist. In fact, she came from a family that had an interest in art. I think it was her grandfather and her father did dabble in painting a little bit and encouraged her. But she was very much a farm wife, and that was the focus of her life until she became too old to work on the farm, and then she turned to painting. And I just love her work, and I have to say on a number of levels. The simplest level maybe is she was a superb colorist, a highly sophisticated colorist. I find her space really interesting. I'll compare her to Picasso, though I'm not sure she was aware of him, but kind of a complex, fractured space. And then she's just so highly personal and intuitive and charming. I mean, they are wonderful pictures. And I have to say that we all have them in our memories. They've entered deeply into the American collective consciousness. So they're icons of what we feel it was like to be American connected to this rural landscape.
Now, Grandma Moses was not classically trained. And right now, you have another exhibition opening called Boundaries in Flux, which features other self-taught painters, although your website explains that self-taught is not the most accurate phrase. How would you characterize this exhibit, Boundaries in Flux?
Well, first of all, it's an exhibit I love, which I wanted to get up for a long time. Because of the Grandma Moses collection and because she's a self-taught artist, we've been trying to build a collection of other works around that. By the way, there's a lot of interest, and I want to say growing interest in this field recently, a field that's also called outsider art. There's a French term for it, art brut, which I would translate probably as raw art. There's the idea that self-taught artists tap in a more authentic way to their intuition. They haven't had the edges rubbed off in school, and they haven't been made to look like every other artist. So there tends to be a highly personal imagery. So we've been around Grandma Moses collecting other works by self-taught artists in Vermont, people ranging from Paul Humphrey, an interesting artist, no longer alive, from Burlington, who did a series of Sleeping Beauties. These are images of women asleep, which he took from popular media. He manipulated photographs, made their eyes closed, did multiple Xeroxes to get further and further from the source, and then colored them. So ranging from that to a wonderful painting by Jessica Park of Williamstown, we count nearby New York. Actually, Grandma Moses was living in New York State. Nearby New York and nearby Massachusetts in our area as being our region.
Robert, you took over as executive director at the Bennington Museum about a year and a half ago. What has the experience of discovering Vermont artists been like for you?
I have been having a great time. I came to Bennington from Maine, where I'd been for some time, and Maine has a very obvious, clear artistic history. Big names like Winslow Homer, Marston Hartley, FitzHenry Lane were working there. But I came here kind of wondering, what is Vermont art? And I came to this museum, which has obviously this great collection of works by Grandma Moses. You know, I count her as, in effect, a Vermont artist. She was working right across the border, same sort of landscape. And the big discovery for me was a powerful movement of abstract painting and sculpture going on right in and around Bennington in the late 50s and early 60s. Titanic names, the leaders in the American art movement at the time. And it just hasn't really been recognized by Vermont museums yet. But in our backyard, and so we created a new gallery that we called Bennington Modernism last summer.
Well, Robert Walterstorff, congratulations on the reopening, and thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
Dr. Robert Walterstorff is the executive director of the Bennington Museum, which is holding a free community day this Saturday. For more information, visit bpr.net.